What's that? Oh. So yes, I did wonder about that. I actually thought about that with Yerushalmi. I forgot to mention that yesterday. In the Yerushalmi, Shmuel is quoted as saying that you make a bari pri ha'etz on Torah. Yes. I suspect it's possible. It is possible. Okay.
You want some capers?
I have one more spoon. What?
I said this is Dover Shdibel with Mashka.
Luckily we have spoons, so don't dip your fingers in.
Unless you wash before your cereal. You hold like Ramosha, so you don't.
Do.
What?
I
so then if you want, you should go wash first. Okay. And what carrots do you like? Okay. Anyway.
And you're going to say,
Okay, so there you go. I think it's actually nice, even if they're not the most delicious things, they're sitting back in the announcement, it's good to at least have a more tactile experience. Okay. No, he held you. I think Ramosha said you didn't. We don't generally wash. Most people wash
before
cereal.
I ate them.
Well, it's the Dover Shdibel Mashke.
Yeah, I have some.
No, because you eat it with a spoon.
I won't tell.
But no, while Gabe's come out, there's more. I mean, it's not like no shortage in you. No, I understand. So after Gabe gets his shot, then we come in this. So anyway. I don't know what Ramosha's position is. I have to look at the tshuva. I'm pretty sure it's Ramosha. The Rambam does say if you eat with a fork, you still have to wash. He says, oh, my great for those who are doing the Rambam, you will have passed that. So I have to actually check and see why and does Ramosha assume that maybe foods that you normally only eat with a spoon or something like that. But anyway.
These are the avionos.
These are not avionos.
No.
These are kafrisos. These are tomorrows.
So
it's Adama. Yes. And you can have some carrots with the two if you like.
Okay. Why would you have the carrots?
To make a shir. Okay, enough. Anyway. Alright, so now we're going to do the sugya of tzlath. And
to make a shir, right.
Let's be aware of certain basic dinim, some of which we saw before Yanta, but I want to sort of lay out here. We're going to talk about tzlath in three contexts. What are the three contexts in which we're going to discuss the status of the tzlaf or the various parts of the tzlaf? You could add four to it, I guess. But that doesn't relate though to specific parts of the tzlaf. That relates more to the whole plant as a whole. Okay, so you're right, Aaron. There is a question of what is the status of a tzlaf? Is it a tree? Is it a yerek? But that relates to the entire bush. As opposed to a specific part of it. But there are three areas in which one could potentially distinguish between different parts of the tzlaf. And what are those three areas? So one is bracha. Number two, you said maser. And number three is orla. Now, it is possible that each of these three areas will have completely different dinim. Now, at first glance, one could argue that they are all equatable. Why would they all be equatable? Well, what is the standard for bracha generally? What's the standard for bracha? It has to be eights and it has to be pre-ha'etz, right? If you were to take a piece of, let's say you were to take the tzlaf wood, okay? You could argue that the reason why you don't make a bari pre-ha'etz in that is, people don't eat the tzlaf wood. There's a reason for that. But supposing one did eat the wood of the tzlaf bush, so you would say that you don't make a bari priya etz in it because it's not the fruit, it's the wood. Just as if you take a vine and you eat the vine as opposed to eating the grapes, you don't make a bari priya etz. You probably make a shahakol if it's considered royal achil. It's probably not royal achil. You don't make anything, but
even on a natural tree.
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. So it's conceivable you could call. I think, I don't know if we said this in Shir yesterday. Obviously, pri ha'adama and pri ha'etz, the word pri may mean two different things. Right? Pri and ha'etz means the fruit of the tree. Pri ha'adama may very well be simply the produce of the ground. So theoretically, if you had a kind of wood.
You say ha'adama first, or ha'etz.
No, we don't normally say that way. We just say that if you made ha'adama on ha'etz, you yotze. We don't say that if you make...
If you have two different things in front of you, one of them is ha'adama, one is ha'etz, and you say the ha'adama first, you can still say ha'etz on the other.
I believe so. I can check you. I'm pretty sure.
Either way, would that, But like you said, if it's something that is supposed to be eaten, you say Adam Yer Yotzer.
But that's only when your kavana is to be make the bracha on this food.
Still, that would strengthen the point that explain because everything it really does cause support from the ground.
But you could still insist that it's being called a pre and it comes from the ground. Doesn't prove the second half, Michael.
Isn't that why we're careful to make that H first, so that you don't have a question of whether you already supposed to eat the second thing?
I don't know. Well, the reason why we make just as if you say a shahakal, and the proof to that is if you say a shahakal first, you don't say that you're pater from making a bracha on the other things. What I recall being taught, and I have to see what the basis for this really is, because I know the Rambam doesn't hold this way, is that you go from more specific to less specific brachos. But that's sort of just because the brachas are more chashuva, meaning a shahakal sort of catch-all bracha, but Bori Pareitz is a much more significant bracha because it's more tailored for the food. So it's not that if you make the other one first, you can't make the later one. But in fact, I have to check what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Rambam, what does the Rambam say in terms of Kedima? The only thing that matters in Kedima is first is Chaviv. If you have a preference, then you make on the chaviv first, and he doesn't distinguish between. He's not talking about if they're all the same bracha. It means if they're different brachas.
If they're different brachas, I made the reference. Somebody told me no, it's only if they're the same bracha.
No, the Rambam says beferish if they're not the same bracha, you mevarich al ezeh sheyir, you know, which is chaviv. One second, and if
you have like a steak and some peas, you have to say the bracha on the peas before the steak.
So then the Rambam says that if it's the same bracha and you don't have a chaviv. If it's the same bracha, or even not the same bracha, you make on Shivas Aminim first. And within Shivas Aminim, if you don't have a preference, you make on the one that's closer to the word Eretz. Right. So the Rambam certainly makes no mention whatsoever. I don't know where the origin of this idea that you go from more to less specific if you're going to make multiple brachos. I'm pretty sure even if you don't, it doesn't pater. But I have to check. It may say in the Shulchan Aruch. So yes, I was sort of raised with the same thing. If you have a bunch of foods in front of you, and I have to imagine that even whoever says that would not argue that it overrides Chaviv. It would mean that if you don't have a particular preference in one particular food, but when you have, let's say, steak and French fries in front of you, it's a normal. I'm not taking a poll. I'm just speaking myself personally. And if it's different for you, it's different for you. But me personally, the first thing I would like to do is take a piece of the steak. The steak is chaviv. If it's not for you, that's okay too. Yes.
In the mission, it sounds like you would only make the bracha on the one that you're.
But let's say. Correct, but let's say you don't have a preference. I don't care. You know, apples, oranges, they're all the same to me. I like them both. I don't really care. I don't have.
Isn't that surprising? In the mission, it sounds like you just make one bracha.
No, if it's the same, if it's
it
the same.
It doesn't say that in the mission.
No, but I think the Mishnah, how you find Minim Harbei, is assumed. No, I don't think so. But when we get there, we'll deal with that. I don't want to. Let's not go there now. I mean, let's stay where we are. Okay, Ezra, is it? I want to be an Arsa. You're not
okay.
On the other topic. Okay, so we have three areas. So the first one being the bracha. The second one, and again, I'm arguing. Let's argue for the moment that pre-ayitz means fruit of the tree. Pre-adama might mean product of the ground. Every fruit of the tree, by definition, is a product of the ground. Now, the second, yes.
Not according to the specific definition we agreed when we were figuring out the bracha for oil.
What do you mean by that?
When we were talking about oil, weren't we saying that like the tree height has to be really like the tree itself and has to come directly from?
No, that's a possibility. The Gemara, that's the whole issue that's being discussed in the Gemara. Is it really? You know, if it changes form, is that still called pre-ha'itz or not?
No, I mean by the olive. Were we saying that it can't be called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. It's fine. But it doesn't matter that like it's removed one step from the ground.
Maybe not. In other words, we suggested that, you know, the more something is processed, the less you may be able to. It's not so much it's not pre, but it's no longer God's, you know, creation in a certain sense. So with respect to Orla, what would you say that the din should be? What will determine what is governed by Orla? It has to be what's called a pre. Okay, it has to be an eitz, and it has to be pre. It has to be chisavo la'aretz unetatem kol eitz ma'achol va'araltem orla so es pirio. The third area, maser, is the one that's...
We're reading that.
The third one is maser. And maser, arguably, would be dependent upon what?
Well, also based on
the growth. Whether it's food that grows from the ground, right? You know, aser taser is told to vasarecha hayotze hasadeh shana shana. So arguably, the category that for maser could be something that's broader than the category for, let's say, orla or the bracha of bori pri ha'etz. You can still ask the question. Let's say you have something. Let's take, and the Gemara is not going to discuss it. I don't know if the Mishnah discusses it either. Let's say you eat a korah shel dekel, and let's say you have many hearts of pam. Do you have to separate trumas and maasers from them? Right. Now, orla, I would argue most likely. What would an orla be by korah?
Yes.
That orla applies to the korah shel dekel.
Not a fruit.
It's not the pri of the Elon. We don't even make, you know, maskana. We don't even the way the Bavli reads, the Havamina wasn't even to make a bari pri eitz. It was to make a bari pri hadama. Okay, so Eyal points out in the Yushalmi Shmuel's quoted as saying bari pri eitz. Okay, but at least in terms of the Bavli, whenever was a Havamina make a bari pri eitz in it, it's not the pri of the dekel. Someone might want to eat it, but it's certainly not the prayers of the dekel are either the coconut, the date or whatever else. I don't know what else grows from palm trees. Okay, so
what are the criteria for bracha? It's whether it's the fruit of the tree.
Well, again, bracha we say pri ha'etz might mean dafka, the fruit, the normal fruit of the tree. And again, here fruit, I would suggest that what fruit means, at least minimally, forgetting about what people want to eat, something that, you know, even it might be a precursor stage of the fruit, might theoretically sometimes qualify. It's conceivable, not definite. In other words, but it would have to be something, you know, normally fruits are preceded by flower, right? That's typical. So it would be something like that, where the tree produces multiple ones of these. That's the nature of the tree. Orla is dictated by Eitz Machal and Pirio.
Maser,
Which might be the same thing as bari pri eitz, and then maser might have its own more likely to have its own category. It would not necessarily be limited to those things that you dafka plan the produce for, but it might be any part that's edible any part that's edible conceivably. Okay, so keep in mind that one of the answers can always be that there's sort of a different standard. So let's start with the Gemara. Who would like to read? Shalom, go ahead.
Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Slap Shot Orla, Kutza Aret, Kutza Zareka Tanyunot, Gotlav Kafirsin.
Okay. Okay, so that line, conceivably not important because I'm not going to offer a different interpretation as to what the stira was, but the Gemara fills in. The Gemara is extracting extrapolating from Rav's statement, which is namely the avionos are considered peros, they're considered pirio, and therefore the laws of Orla apply to them. But the kafrisin are not, and therefore the laws of Orla don't apply to them. Now, what is wrong, potentially, with the Gemara's extrapolation? What is problematic about the Gemara's extrapolation? The Ritva asked this question. He just says it in passing. There's an inherent problem simply stating as if the Gemara said, Avionos are pre, Kafrisin are not pre. Shlomo? So, in other words, if that's really true, why do you distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz
Laretz? The Gaonim, at least supported by the Rush, say that you make a separate, you make Adama in.
No. I understand, but for the purposes of the argument then, you can't. When you say that in Chutz La'aretz your ochelas ha-kafrisin, your ochelas ha-kafrisin, the implication though being in Eretz Yisrael you can't even eat the kafrisin, it's hard to know whether you should extrapolate from that kafrisin is a fruit or kafrisin isn't a fruit.
Doesn't the Gemara kind of ask that question a little bit?
Doesn't ask the question that way, no. I mean, the Gemara ultimately comes to recognize that there's an element of suffix here. Let's read on. But the Ritva points that out. That, in other words, the Gemara could have asked a different question. And the question is, it's not that it's misleading, but it's sort of picking on only the explicit part. It's not bothered to ask, but that the implicit part would contradict its thesis. Okay, so the Gemara presents as what the extrapolation from Rav is, Slav shel olor zorikas avionos ve'ochal as a kafrisim. As lemeimra devyonis perik avrisin la peris. So now the Gemara says. Okay, so let's talk about what's the logic behind this. Avionos and Kafrisin, you make a bari priya eitz. On the olin and the tmaros, you make a bari pri ha'adama. Why?
Chaim? They're part and parcel of the plant itself.
Why are the kafrisin any more part of the plant itself than the...
No, they're not. They're not.
Say that again.
The kafrisin are
olim. I'm sorry, but no, why are the olim...
Why
the tamaros any more part and parcel of the plant than the kafrisin, right?
They're tiny.
And the kafrisin are just the leaves around the tiny. Right?
Yeah, but it's like a big bud. Right?
The kafrisin are before the bud.
No, like it's bigger. It's like a tamar, but
it's gotten a little bit bigger than it was before. Okay, but what really the Gemara is clear. I mean, it's a fascinating suggestion here. Is that you have two? Again, what makes this confusing? It didn't used to confuse me until I realized that this is all just different stages in the same fruit growing. So the Gemara is saying at two different stages, this thing can be called pri ha'etz, but at a stage in between the two of them, it's not pri ha'etz anymore. Okay, that's a novel idea. Right? In other words, when you learn Masros, when you learn Maseches Masros, and Shvius, what you discover, Lagabe Hefsid Perish Shvius, right? You're not allowed to pluck fruits too early in the Shemitah year because that's considered La'achla V'la Hefsid. Right? That's a principle that you're only allowed to use Perish Shvius for their normal use, and to pluck it, before its time is considered being Mafsid Perish Shvius. So whenever you learn that, or you learn the onas hamasros, when things become a pre for the purposes of being mechuyev and trumas and maasros. So the general assumption is that you wait up until a certain point. When it reaches that point, mikan ve'elech, it's pre. Right? Imagine the funny possibility here that tomorrow's would not be called pre. Then it becomes you get kafrisin then, which now is pre, and now it grows further, and that status disappears, and there's no longer pre. And even though the kafrisin are there now in the form of the ulam, but they may have gotten harder. And then it comes to avionos, and once again it's pre, right?
Yeah, but the ulam don't never develop into the avion.
No, I understand that, but
once they've gone out of use.
So the funny thing, what's in effect going on here, is that it's not really. You have different stages. In other words, it's almost determined by the stage at which you arrest development at. As opposed to, in other words, and that normally is not the case by all other fruits. All the fruits, when they reach a certain stage, they're pre from then on in. Here you have something that could turn into a non-pre. In other words, you could have the pre growing, and then you can lose the pre. Even though the growth process has continued, I understand it's coming out of it. And then once again, the pre comes back. Right. It ultimately, Chaim, the Tamara, which then winds up the Kafrisan around it, this becomes, the Tamara certainly, winds up as the basis for the Abiyona.
That would be the normal process.
The whole thing is with the Talav is that what starts out, where we start out calling the Pri, quote unquote, is not really much of a Pri. I mean, it's just like an undeveloped flower.
I understand. But
so in other words, that's why you get this strange
I agree. That's fine. In other words, it's very odd to call something before its final stage of development the pre. What?
I'm saying they knew that it was
They could see.
They could open it up.
They could see.
They didn't understand it the way that we understand it.
You don't have to understand it the way we understand it botanically. You can see. You can see that it starts out, and you can pluck off the tamaras and eat them, and then you see the leaves grow around it, and then you see the leaves start to peel away, and the tamara opens into a flower, and you see the little thing come out of them. They were very observant about things that they could see. You know, mechanisms, the ancients really went bad is when they was not so much in the most basic observation, but was in describing the underlying mechanisms, right? Now, take my favorite example, and I don't want to go into this, but the notion of dam nechar v'naseh is chalav, right? The basic observed phenomenon was observed, and it's fundamentally correct. A nursing woman doesn't menstruate, right? Now, what conclusion did they come to? They came to the conclusion that the blood that normally would have been the damnida turned into milk. And as late as Da Vinci, his anatomical drawings have a large blood vessel going from the uterus to the mammary glands. And that's really the way they thought, right? Now, the truth is they didn't do a dissection and see that there wasn't such a blood vessel. So they saw the phenomenon they observed. The explanation they didn't fully understand. But when it comes to the fruits, they could see what was growing. That they were very, very, and certainly very much agriculturally in touch. So it's what is very odd about Tzlaf from the perspective of all these halachos, particularly of Masros, is the idea that you might have something where the fruit has not really, you haven't reached the true fruit stage, and nonetheless it's being treated perhaps, at least according to one sheet, as a pre. Okay, obviously, who understands is so bothered by my question? I don't mean who in the Shir, who in the Gemara? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's position is basically that I'm right. It's not a pre until it's a pre. All these pre stages. Sorry about that. I didn't mean that way. These pre fruit stages. That also came out bad. In the stages that precede the fruit, so all those things, you know, are not peros. People might like to eat them. They might be edible in different forms. At the end of the day, that's not called a pre-hiates. Okay, so in light of that, so the Gemara presented, however, Stira, there's a position that says that Olim and Tamaros is a Bori Pri Adama. That's interesting, even though, now it's interesting, why is it not a Shehakol? Here's the essential question. Why is it not a Shehakol? It's normal to eat it. So why is it not pre-ayat?
Because it's part of the tree.
Yeah. Okay, because it's not the fruit of the tree. It's not the pre. So then why don't you make a Bori Pri Adama on Kura, a Kura Shel Dekel? It once again drives home the point that the Gemara makes at the end of the previous piece. Because it doesn't destroy the tzlaf. It just means that particular fruit will never reach fruition. Okay? No, but we pointed out that there's something more to it. In other words, the literal reading of Nachman Yitzchak suggests that, but then the Gemara understood Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying something more. That's why Rashi commented what he did, because otherwise he added nothing to what we previously said. So working with Rashi's interpretation, I don't think anybody...
It doesn't hurt.
Correct. I have to tell you, by the way, it's extremely logical. Even if the Gemara doesn't spell it out, it is so obvious. Because if you're aware of the botany... then the answer is so obvious even without the Gemara fully articulating. So if in fact the Gemara understood, in other words, even when you read it, Lonati Inisha Daita Dahachi, you could have on your own said, what do you mean? But people do like X, Y, and Z, but you'll say that people don't normally do that way the palm tree because it's destructive. It's really a waste. As opposed to when it comes to Nitzpah, so where it's not destructive at all, in fact, okay, so you don't get that one, but you get it this way. Whereas the Kor Shel Dekel, you get the Kor Shel Dekel, but you basically get one little palm heart or a few, I don't know, if you cut up into a few things, then you lose all the fruit of the tree. So I'm working with the assumption that the Gemara Nachman meant something more, and for right now, unless you have a better suggestion, I think Rashi's is extremely likely. Okay, and therefore, the reason why you don't make a Shehakol is because people do eat this, and it doesn't damage the tzlaf. David?
Why would its damaging of the tree have any impact on the bracha that's made?
Why? It would indicate that it's such an abnormal usage that it's not even, you know... you're going back to the previous sugya, really. Why? So the answer is that even to be called, I suppose, pri ha'adama, maybe it has to be, even if it's not the fruit... you know, it has to be something which is productive.
Okay.
So you wouldn't make a bracha on it at all?
No, it's in the same way is Rabbi Yehuda would say that you don't make a bracha on govai at all because it's a min klala. So here, it's not that you don't make a bracha at all, but you don't, in other words, going back to the question that was asked earlier that Ezra and Michael both raised about the order of brachos. So we have a notion, again, maybe this is anachronistic, we're putting it back in, of a bracha chashuva, right? The more specific a bracha, the more chashuva the bracha is. So that's why you should make ha'eitz first, because it's really a bracha chashuva. You make it probably even bar kriya gefen before that, because it's really a bracha chashuva. So here, in other words, if something is eaten in a fashion that's really fundamentally counterproductive or destructive, so then maybe it doesn't get, you don't want to give it a bracha chashuva. You don't have to say, you could just say, pre-ha'adama has to be something the ground produces that might typically be eaten because, you know, the ground produces more and more and more. Whereas the dekel, when you eat the Kor Shel Dekel, the tree's dead, nothing more is produced.
Why wouldn't we choose an alternative such as, you can tell that this is clearly from vegetation, where the heart of a palm tree might not, that doesn't resemble any vegetation that you normally see.
I don't think it's a question of its resemblance. Something, you know, a heart of a palm tree doesn't resemble any other thing because it's a heart of a palm tree. A cucumber doesn't, lettuce doesn't resemble any other thing either because it's a lettuce.
But a leaf resembles another leaf.
I'm sure that the heart of the palm tree has its botanical equivalent, functional equivalent in other things. I don't know what they are.
Edible functional?
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. So the Gemara here presents a brisa which says that you actually have two stages of the pre, which are called pre, and you have an intermediate stage and a preceding stage, which are not called pre. So you see, what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates that even the kafrisin are actually called pre, and how in chutz laretz can it be that you say, ozorika savionos va'ochalas ha-kafrisin? So the Gemara continues. Go ahead, Shalom. So let's first understand Mimnei. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer. So firstly, it appears there's a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva over what?
What's the ultimate?
Maybe, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think that's what the machlokas is. Whether there is on. No, no. I want to know what the. I know I can regurgitate the machlokas. I want to know what is the.
When it's defined as a pre.
I don't think so. I can't prove that. I don't think so.
Whether there is maser and a shomer.
No, I would argue whether or not maser is limited to the pre of a particular fruit. If there's another part that's edible, but it's not the pre of the fruit. It's not the fruit of a particular kind of produce is a botanical definition, and I don't mean just in the pure scientific one. I think they could sense what the fruit was also. The fruit is the sort of the final development when you have a flower and then a fruit grows out of it. Again, we don't necessarily instinctively gravitate that way because we think fruit is something you buy in the supermarket and you eat, right? But if you're used to watching fruit grow through all its stages, you sort of recognize there's more to a fruit than just, you know, something that grows from the ground that you pick up, you know, buy in the store and eat. It's more to it. And as a fruit has, Even if they didn't understand the pure mechanisms of the botany, they do have a sense of what is called the pre, what is the end product of the development. So it may very well be that the machlokes is over whether or not masros apply to edible parts of the plant that are not considered a pre. Shlomo?
What about Olam? Are we only dealing with Doraisa? Rashi?
Well, here's the complicated part. The complicated part is that, according to most Rishonim, the only thing, let me take a little sidebar here, okay? Mark this as a sidebar in your notes. What is Chayiv and Trumas and Maisus min HaTorah? I can probably name 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 Shitos, at least, and I may not know all the Shitos. Shita number 1, which the Ramban suggests as a possibility in his Perush al HaTorah, is that the only thing that's Chayiv min HaTorah is literally Dagan Tirush for Yitzar. And when I say literally, what I mean is not grapes, not olives, but olive oil and wine and the 5 grains. Anything that's defined as Dagan. That's the minimalist Shita in terms of what's Chayiv and Trumas and Maisros, in terms of strains of produce, species of produce. Shita number 2, which I think is the mainstream sheet, that's the position of the Balei Tosfos, I think it's Rashi also, I think most Rishonim hold this way, is that Dagan, Tiyur, Shvi, Yitzar in all of their manifestations, meaning oil, olives, grapes, wine, and the 5 kinds of grain. Third Shita is a position that I have not been able to find inside. I don't think I've been able to find it, but Rosh Hashanah quoted as a Ravid on the Torah's Kohanim. It should be at the end of the Chukosai. I'm sorry, forgive me for doing this. I want to just step out 1 second. Let me finish the list, then I'll come back to that. The Ravid says, Shiva Saminim. I don't know, I have not been able to find the Ravid inside. It says, Shiva Saminim. Dagan Tirush for Yitzar. Pashtus is, are subsumed within the Shiva Saminim. It's not Pashut, because the Gemara says, the Gemara Pesachim says that the other 3 kinds of grains are kinds of wheat and barley. The Rambam says this in the opening of Perek Gimel, I think, of Hilchos Brachos. He says there's chitim and seorim, and then these other three kinds are subspecies. And then the truth is, if you go by the identification that Felix gives, they certainly are. Spelt is definitely a kind of wheat. It's a less allergenic kind of wheat, but it is very similar to wheat. If you assume that it's rye and oats, then they're not at all subspecies. But Felix's identifications for Shibola Shuel is double rowed barley, and the as opposed to, I think, most barley, I think, is four something. And actually, I think he says for some reason Shipon is, what's it spelt, and Kusman, he says, is rice wheat, which is a real kind of it's actual wheat. It's not related to rice at all. And in which case, you really are talking about chitim and seorim. I have seen elsewhere, I don't remember where, that the other three grains are not part of the Shivas Aminim.
In the Tosefta Mishnah and Brachot, it talks about having dagon.
Yes.
It says in Kedimot, like we're talking about.
Yes,
before.
That's where it says it, that it's not included. So the answer might be, so that's a very good question, but it runs against other sources. It may be that just Lagabe Bracha, because it's not by its name in the Pasuk, that may be why, I'm not sure. But put that question aside, assume for the moment, Eitan, that Dung and Tirshiyitz are a subset of the Shivas Aminim. I realize there's a problem, minor problem, I'm not sure what to do with that, but put it aside for now, yes.
Within the Rebbe Shiva, that it's Shivas Aminim, is it all manifestations, or no?
I assume so, but I don't know. I assume so, but I can't find the Rebbe, I can't comment on... Fourth shita is the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam says it's not only dung and tir shviyitzar, it's basically all peiros ha'ilan. There are exceptions to the rule. The one Gemara that's often cited, you know, fired against the Rambam, is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says that maser chavruvin is the Rabbanan, right? A carob trees. Now, the truth is, most people I know don't think so fondly of carobs, although I recall being in Eretz Yisrael and eating them. What? They actually weren't bad, if you have it fresh. But most of you might have seen it in Yeshiva Katana when you got the Buxer. Do they still do that? Or
Yeah.
So that is the Buxer on Tu B'Shvat is sponsored by the American Dental Association. So carob trees, the Gemara says, the Meiser is the Rabbanon. So what does the Rambam do with that? The Rambam claims that since the ikar purpose of Haruvin is for Machal Behema, not for Machal Adam, that's why the Maaser is the Rabbanon. But generally, most fruit trees, the Rambam would say that the Trumas and Maasers on apples would be the Oraisa and Eretz Yisrael when Trumas and Maasers are the Oraisa. The fifth Shita, what?
So what
about Seorim? I don't know. Anyway, and then finally, maybe not quite as much, you know. Finally, the last shita, which I don't know if I've actually seen with my own eyes, is a position. It's not a species issue. There's supposed to be a Ravid, a Hasagas Ravid on the Rambam, and it would be in Hilchos Trumas, I think, where the Ravid claims that the chiyuv to separate minat Torah is only in dung and tir shviyitzar. But I think if you separate on other things, the truma might be chal minat Torah. I'm not sure. Again, what's that? I'm sorry. The Ravid of the Asagos, yes, that's the fifth Shita. So I have to see with my own eyes. Now,
it's the same Ravid, right? I mean,
it's the same person,
like,
yes. No, same Ravid, yeah. I know of three, but yes. What? The all dug into your Shriyatsar? That's the Balei Tosos, Rashi. Most Rishonim probably hold that way. What? The last one is the Ravid, and it's supposed to be the Ravid of the Asagos, yes.
So there's two different Ravid.
Two different positions suggested by the Ravid.
Do these definitions of what Maser applies to apply to Truma as well?
Yes. There's no distinction drawn between Truma and the Maisers that follow. If you chayiv in one, ultimately, if the species is chayiv in one, it's chayiv in all.
And this is also Maser Sheni? Maser Rishon and Sheni?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Maser Ani. Yeah.
Everything.
Yes.
The distinction is my name, right? That Truma is the rice, the Maser's not the other way around. They're strong.
I know
that's like the Rabbanon.
I don't understand what the basis for that would be. Okay, so anyway, in fact, the terms are often used sometimes interchangeably in the Gemara in certain contexts. Now, just an observation about these shitas. There is, in a sense, almost a stira between the psukim. It's not an explicit stira, but that creates this problem. On the one hand, how could the Rambam say that you take trumas and maisos from things beyond Dung and Tirshu Yitzar, if you have a pasuk, Reishis Degan Chavis Tiras Chavis Tarechav Reishis Geis Tzom Chatit and Lo. Right? And when it comes to the pasuk Amas, that's in Shoftim. And in the pasuk Amas of Sheni in Parshas Re'eh, Ve'ochal Talofnei Hashem Elokecha, Masar Degan Chavis Tiras Chavis Yitzarecha, Ucharos Bekar Chavitzanecha. So again, You have Dagon Tirosh Vayitzar being spelled out. So, the question then becomes, where is the Rambam coming from? What's the answer? The answer is the Pasuk in Parshas Bechukosai. V'chol masar ha'aretz, mizera ha'aretz, mipri ha'etz, la'shem hu, kodesh la'shem. It's like the second or third to last Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. So you have a Pasuk that says, v'chol masar ha'aretz, mizera ha'aretz, mipri ha'etz. So it sounds like all fruit trees. That's where the position, presumably the Taras Kohanim would be starting from, and that's where the position the Rambam is coming from as well. Our sugya, by the way, is mashma what? Regardless of what your girsa is, it's mashma against the Rambam. The way we have the girsa in our Gemara, we're going to see in a moment, is beferish against the Rambam. And even if you touch up the girsa, it really doesn't change anything because tzlaf is an ilan and it's not ikar l'macha b'hema, unless the Rambam is going to start to carve out more exceptions to the rule of peiros ilanim. He may have to. The Rambam may have to admit that not only is maser haruvin the Rabbanon, maser tzlaf is the Rabbanon, but nonetheless, the Gemara is mashma against the Rambam. Okay, so now.
Why are we assuming that Master Salaf is the Rabbanon from our Gemara here?
Why?
All they're arguing over is what part of it you're taking.
You're going to see in a second. The Gemara says it in passing. Hold on. So now let's talk about the Mishnah again. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva have a machlokas. What is the conceptual point of departure here between them? It would appear, the simple reading I think would be, whether or not you're chayav to separate trumas and maasers from something that's not called the pri. What's that?
If that were the reason, then you can't extrapolate.
No. Time out. Hold on. You can't extrapolate Rabbi Eliezer's sheet to Orla. They might both agree by Orla that it's only the. He says it's Neshu Pri. Rabbi Akiva would say, and as everybody agrees, Bari Priet is only on the Pri, and everybody agrees that Orla is only from the Pri, and Rabbi Akiva says that Master is only from the Pri. Now, if I'm correct in that, what could the Gemara have said? What did the Gemara say? It says that he holds like Rabbi Akiva, the Tanan. According to what I'm claiming, is it conceivable that that the Rav, is this Rav? Yeah, held like Rabbi Lezer? It is conceivable. Now, the fact that the Gemara says he holds like Rabbi Akiva and doesn't just say he holds like this Mishnah, does that disprove my point? Not necessarily. Why would the Gemara say who the Savar Rabbi Akiva? Possibly because Rabbi Akiva is more explicit. In other words, there is another way of explaining the Machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, although I tend to doubt this, as opposed to whether or not it's called Pri. In which case, you would have the Machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva would not be limited to Trumas and Maestros. They would argue as well whether or not the Din of Orla would apply. But I don't know that we have any evidence. Does everybody follow me? Let me say it this way. We have a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not you tithe only the avionos, or whether you tithe everything but the olim. The olim would be what's left of the kafrisim once the flower is open. They may be much harder and not terribly edible, not terribly tasty, or the least tasty. So there could be that the machlokas. So what's the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Could be the machlokas is the way Rabbi Akiva says that neshuhu pri, that the machlokas is what do you have to separate trumas and maasros from. Rabbi Akiva says only from the pre. Rabbi Eliezer says even from those parts of the plant that might commonly be eaten that are quite edible. Okay, but even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that olin is pushing it. The other way reading the machlokas is the machlokas is of what is the pre. I find that a little bit difficult just from the formulation of language, but that's possible. What's the nafkamina between these two ways of formulating the machlokas? Nafkamina would be whether it carries over to other areas besides Meiser. If the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not you need to separate Trumas and Meiser from things that are not pri but are eaten, so then that's a din locally within Maser. If, however, the argument over is what's called the pri of the tzlaf, so then that machlokas should carry over beyond Maser. It should carry over even to areas such as Orla and maybe even Brachos. Does this say first volume? That's the first volume. Now, given the two presentations that I just made, which does it sound like from the Gemara more? I just need to hand it off. I want the Mishnah Maestros.
Otherwise,
What's considered a pre? Why?
Because otherwise it wouldn't have anything to do with either way. Why it wouldn't specify Rabbi Akiva?
It shouldn't have specified Rabbi Akiva, if I'm correct, right? What is the answer to that question? In other words, why specify Rabbi Akiva if Rabbi Eliezer agrees on that point? If Rabbi Eliezer agrees that the Machlokas is not of what's called a pre, but what do you have to separate Maisus from, why would the Gemara not say it's Rabbi Eliezer as well? I'm sorry? No, it is. You could say that this Braisa is somebody, but
there's no Kula here. It's the mainstream position. They want to get a position that's like, they want to get a place where it's one.
No, right now they want to find somebody who says that, right now all they're interested in finding someone who says that Kafrisin is not a pre. So that according to my first formulation, maybe it's wrong, is you would say even Rabbi Eliezer holds Kafrisin is not a pre. The fact that it's Chayav and Trumas and Maisus has nothing to do with the definition of pre. So the reason why the Gemara might not have said Rabbi Eliezer here is because Rabbi Akiva is explicit. You're right in Echanam, and Rabbi Eliezer agrees, might agree on the principle. He just expands the scope of Maisus. But Rabbi Akiva is the one who explicitly says that you only separate Trumas and Maisus from the Avionos, B'gnei Shehein Pri. So in theory, you could read Rabbi Eliezer in the same direction, except that he doesn't say it explicitly. And as there is an alternate way of reading it, but that doesn't mean that the Gemara definitely read it the other way. So that may be, so even if the first formulation I suggested is in the Kudsa Machlokas, it is conceivable the reason why the Gemara doesn't cite it that way, doesn't cite Rabbi Eliezer, just say he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, is because Rabbi Akiva is explicit, Rabbi Eliezer is not. Shalom?
I think Ayel's point is that at this point it's conceivable that's why the Gemara is meaning, saying that Rabbi Akiva is.
Okay.
By the time we get to later, I assume it's pretty clear that the thing
that's about. They think that. Oh. So that's a different... Okay, so then the Gemara later on is going to interpret it that way. But at this particular... The way the Mishnah could be read simply does not have to entail that kind of machlokas, and it could still be relevant. Correct. Okay, that's fine.
Is it a Mishnah?
It is a Mishnah.
So it says Tanan.
I mean, I have to tell you, I think Pshat on the Mishnah is the first way. Not the ultimately where the Gemara goes with that. Even Rabbi Eliezer is Mode. Now the truth is... Arguably, you don't need... The Gemara says later, Rabbi Akiva, Malkum Rabbi Eliezer, Havi Mishnah, there is a Tana who certainly disagrees on what's called a pre. Which Tana is that?
Rabbi Yosei.
No, forget Rabbi Yosei. Already we've seen the Braisa. Almeni Nitzpa, Ala Olam Va'al Tomorrow's, he says, Bari Pri Adama. On the Kafrisin and Avionim, he says, Bari Pri. There's your Tana who holds that Kafrisin are pre and should be together early, because you say, Bari Pri Eitz on it. As you definitely have a Tana, even if it weren't Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the Kafrisin is also called Pri. Chaim?
I mean, but looking, just from the next sugya, where they're debating on whether or not the Kafrisin are a Shomer LaPri or not, it would seem pretty clear that over there they're assuming that they're trying to say that the Kafrisin are surrounding a Pri. So there, presumably, you could have.
Once you go to that point stage in the Gemara is working on a different assumption. I'll grant you that Kafrisin are not called Pri, but they do have a din of Shomer Lepri. It's a different din. So it's a completely separate discussion.
But that's not a raya that there's at least someone here who's that Rabbi Eliezer does think it really is a Pri.
No, that has nothing to do with Rabbi Eliezer. That says even if we establish that you hold like Rabbi Akiva, Kafrisin is not called a Pri. It's still a Shomer Lepri. Shomer Lepri for the purposes of Orla has the same din, and maybe Tumah has the same din as the Pri. Let me ask you another question. Is there a din of Orla by the Tamaros? What? The Mashma from the Gemara, but it's not Pefeirush. It doesn't sound like there's a din of Orla by the Tamaros.
Of course, it's a third stage.
No. Tamaros, the part that Rabbi Eliezer leaves out is Olin. Tamaros, Kafrisin, Avionim.
So they would also be, they would be like Yolin.
It sounds from the statement of Ochel, Zorikas Avionos, Ochel Kafrisin. It sounds like, again, it's an argument from silence, but it's not a perfect argument. That's Tamar Miolati. That's not a problem. Now you have a Tana who says, you have no Tana who says you make Bari Pri Eitz in it, but Rabbi Eliezer does say that it's Misasa.
Rabbi,
One second. You're hung up on the point that hung me up until yesterday. I'm not talking about the same one, but there are multiple things on the same slot bush. Yeah, you could pick tomorrow's and sometimes eat them. Some of them you would let it grow and so on. So unless you say that Rabbi Lezer asers tomorrow's in Orla, Al Karchach, the pshat in the Mishnah really has to be that it's not a machlokas about what's called pre, it's a machlokas about what's chayim and trumas and maizros. I haven't seen the Rishonim address that question, but Shlomo, you're looking puzzled. Ooh, that's a great question Wadler's asking. I wouldn't give that reaction the way I did if I didn't know the answer. The Yerushalmi, very good, in Masros on this Mishnah. And the Yerushalmi, he asked, could you separate, if you're not allowed to separate Minal She'eno Mino, are you allowed to separate from Avionos on Kafris and Kafris on Avionos? I believe that the Gemara says that, what is it, I forget, the Yerushalmi says, it lists three things, and two of them go together and one of them is separate.
What do you mean by separate?
In other words, I think the Avionos, I think the Tamarin and the Kafrisin are Misasrin Zalzeh, but and the Avionos with one of the others, they're not Misasrin Zalzeh. In other words, the din is like this. Let's say I have 100 apples, 100 oranges. I'm not allowed to say, you can check, at the end of Perek Dalet of last Mishnah, Maestros. So let's say I have 100 apples, 100 oranges. So I figure like this. I like apples, and my fellow Levi, my fellow Cohen, likes oranges more. So I'm going to take four oranges, out of the 200 fruits, 1/50, and I'm going to give those to the Kohen as truma, and so on and so forth, and I'll keep all the apples for myself and some of the oranges. So the din is that's no good, and if you try to be ma'aser from one min on another min, the trumas and ma'asers are not chal. So Shlomo asks, what is the status of being ma'aser from the avionos on? And this is a question only from Rabbi Eliezer. What's the status of being ma'aser on the Avionos and the others? And he says, Taka, they say, you can't be ma'aser mizelza.
Meaning, what becomes
Kafrisin
the second
slot,
right?
Tbaros, then Kafrisin, then Olin, then Avion.
Get out of having to bring Kafrisin.
I'm sorry?
Kafrisin are not Hayat.
They are. For Rabbi Eliezer, everything but Olin. Yeah. So the Yushalmi talks about those three things. But anyway, my point still remains, which is that unless you're going to say that tomorrow's, I think these qualify as tomorrow's, unless you're going to say that tomorrow's have a din of Orla, then Al Karchach for Rabbi Eliezer, then Al Karchach, even Rabbi, the Machlokas is not about whether it's a pre or not.
Or it's a Machlok about whether it's a pre in the sense of pre Adam.
No, but then it shouldn't have Orla Bechlal. Your question from the Bavli comes back full
right,
force.
I'm saying, if you say that, it's still a problem, but you could also say that the Machlok is about whether it's pre Hadamo, and that would make Rabbi Eliezer work with the sheet that it says Bori pre Hadamo.
No, I grant you that. In other words, that's the other question I'll ask, but that still won't solve the Bavli later, right?
Right,
no, 100%. I think, you can ask another question for Rabbi Eliezer. Not only is, what is the din legabe these three things of Orla? Okay, we know what Avionos are, the Chayiv and Orla. But you can ask Rabbi Eliezer, not only are the Kafrisin and the Tamaros Chayiv and Orla, what bracha do you make on them? You can ask as well. In other words, my point is, this is why I started by saying, Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana of this particular Brisa, this anonymous Brisa, which is only found on this Amud in Shas, about Mine Nitzpah, 2 and 2, Tu Adama, Tu Aids. So, conceive Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree at all with that Tana. What's clear is that Rabbi Akiva differs with that Tana, because Rabbi Akiva says the only thing you make the only thing that's pre for Orla, the only thing that's pre for Maestros, and I would say Kavachoma for Orla and Bracha, are the Avionos. What I'm questioning is whether Rabbi Eliezer really disagrees with Rabbi Akiva fundamentally across the board. And I think the answer is no. I think he only disagrees on what the standard for Maser is, not on what the status of the Kafrisin and Tamaros are. Okay, it's a problem because the Gemara later, if it's Meduyak, seems to not understand that way, but unless the Gemara later seems to understand that the reason why you're Makbid in Eretz Yisrael not to eat the Kafrisin is because they're Yechoshish for Rabbi Eliezer. But if Rabbi Eliezer holds it's not pre, he would hold even in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Din of Orla. Now, theoretically, even if you didn't read Rabbi Eliezer that way, you would could still be Choshesh in Eretz Yisrael, not for Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, but for Shita of the anonymous Tana of that Brisa, who said that you make a Bori Pereitz on Kafrisin. In other words, according to that Tana, in Eretz Yisrael, everywhere it has the status of fruit for Arla purposes. And if you're Choshesh for that Shita in Eretz Yisrael, then you would be Machmir on the Kafrisin in Eretz Yisrael Dafka. Okay, the Gemara happens to say, Rabbi Akiva, Makom, Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnahi, making it sound like you're being choshes for Rabbi Eliezer and Eretz Yisrael. But maybe it's Lav Dafka. I haven't seen any Rishonim address this issue, but I'll look a little bit harder. It was a question there, Shalom?
Yeah, we found the Yerushalmi.
Yes, okay, and Yerushalmi says?
It says, Kafras Latarot, Mina Chakim, Maaser, Mikafras, Ala Tarot, Mina Tarot, Ala Kafras, Alo Lo Mehed, Ala Vyonot, Mina Vyonot, Ala Hed.
Correct. Okay, so the avionos are separate min for the purposes of maser, and this is the Yerushalmi is explaining Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, it's on that Mishnah, and obviously it's not explaining Rabbi Akiva Shita because Rabbi Akiva would say, what would Rabbi Akiva say the din would be? Of course, then I'm asr and zelzeh because that's menachayev ala pater, menapater ala chayev, right? Which is another category in maaser.
Rabbi Eliezer also would say.
Rabbi Akiva would.
Halacha. I don't know, how do we hold like? I would assume we hold like Rabbi Akiva, which is the funny thing. But let me check. Where's the tzion?
He's saying that you could be misaser on. If you could be misaser on each other, then it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer.
Well, Maman of Shach, either don't need to be master them at all, or no, the Yerushalmi is just explaining Rabbi Eliezer Shita. That doesn't mean.
And it's saying that.
The letter in the Ein Mishpat Ein Mitzvah is on Rabbi Akiva actually. Okay.
So they are. They're not.
We passed on Rabbi Akiva.
No,
Kafrisa and Tamaris go together. They're one min. Okay. So anyway, I think, yes, Aaron?
Why do we have to say that more Choshesh for Kafrisa and Israel? It's either because of Rabbi Eliezer or because of the right. Why can't we put equate a line between
them? Why can't we equate Rabbi Eliezer with the Brisa?
They both drive at the fact that Kafrisa and Israel.
No, maybe not, is my point. In other words, let me, does the Braisa think that Tamaros are pre?
No,
because you make up our Pardamad. Does Rabbi Eliezer hold that Arla applies to it? How do you know? Right, no, you don't know that, and I'm willing to bet. We'll have more tomorrow. I'll do a little research on the Pesach Halacha, but just in terms of, I'd be willing to bet that we don't hold Yechayev Arla on the Tamaros. Which means that Bal Karchuch then, if we are, I don't know if we're Choshesh in Eretz Yisrael for Rabbi Eliezer, but if we're Choshesh in Eretz Yisrael for Rabbi Eliezer, for Kafrisin, it doesn't. Then how are we reading the Mishnah? Because Rabbi Eliezer says Yemaaser Kafrisin, Tamaros and Avionim, Avionos, right? It would be the anonymous Tana, not like the Bavli is saying. If Rabbi Eliezer says it's pre, and that's why you have to separate Trumas and Maisos from Tamaros and Kafrisin, so then why is there no Orla by Tamaros? Because we're saying that he holds that there's Orla by Kafrisin.
So you need to prove that he says
okay, right. So, but if I'm saying if Arab Psach Kalacha would in fact, somebody can go digging now if you want, even find out. Someone followed the Tziyunim. I'll tell you where it's in. You can even look in the back of the Gemara. You know what? They don't. Hold on, one second.
Or that's not
necessarily. Where's the orla? Tzlaf shel orla b'chutz laretz. He doesn't quote. That's really weird. There should be something in Hilchos orla netter. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. I'm missing it here. Okay, one second. Maser shinin tervai halacha gimel. The truth is, if there's a steer in the Rambam, there's got to be Reb Chaim on this. I don't know of any Reb Chaims on it, but that would be very interesting. Maybe there is a Reb Chaim. And we'll set a record. 2 in a year. Okay, one second.
We already set the record of 1.
What's that? That's true. One second. Where does the Rambam in Tzvila? Hold on. Okay, one second. Where is this? It's Perek. Letter Chaf. Yud. Oh, Master Sheni Netaravai. I'm sorry. I'm looking in the wrong place. Master Sheni Netaravai. Yud Gimel. Nata Ilan Vachashra. Tu. No, so the Rambam paskin consistently. He paskins that Tzlaf is chaya be'orla, habiyonis bevadal v'kafris and mutaris. He does not seem to distinguish here between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. But I have to look at the Nosei Kalim of the Rambam. But at least just within the Bavli itself, so he really paskins like Rabbi Akiva across the board. He doesn't hold that this business is only in Chutz La'aretz, it's in Eretz Yisrael. But for the moment, on the assumption that you're makpid on kafris and Eretz Yisrael, which is what's mashma in the Gemara, what about tomorrow's for Rabbi Eliezer? Okay, so now the Gemara continues. Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you want to go on, fine, but can even if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer gives talk that you're not
there's no oral on the tomorrow's.
Tomorrow, why can it be that like he thinks that they're all pero, but he thinks that Kafrisin are still pero, and that's the reason he says that you're chayav and not sir, and so too with Evyon Lanzer.
But I presume that whatever the machlokas is by kafrisin, it's the same machlokas
right,
as by tomorrow's.
So
but that's a reasonable assumption. When Rabbi Eliezer lists three, Rabbi Akiva lists one, I presume there's one nekudas machlokas here. Whatever it is, if you want to argue whether it's called pre, I'll accept that. I present the two possibilities. But yes, I'm assuming that there's one nekudas machlokas given the presentation of the Mishnah. Yes. If he does, that's fine. But if he doesn't, then you can't explain, and that you can't say that he hold that the shita that we're choshish for in Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Eliezer of Kafris, and then turn around and ignore him by tomorrow's. You can say that the shita that we're choshish for in Eretz Yisrael is the anonymous brisa that lumps them to two and two. But Rabbi Eliezer, it's either going to be one or three. It's not going to be two.
Right, so why not just say it's three?
Why? Because the idea.
But
let me point out to you where the Rishonim raised this issue in a different way within our sugya. Who is the author of the Brice of Mine Nitzpah? Is it Rabbi Akiva? Clearly not. The Gemara doesn't fit, and Rabbi Akiva's not. Is it Rabbi Eliezer? On the surface, the answer is no. The Ritva talks about this question. We'll look at the Ritva. But on the surface, no, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would have expected the Brach on tomorrow should be Borei Priyetz. Now, you might say that there's a Chiluk. But just point out that when the Gemara presents, there appear to be three different opinions here. Now, I'm suggesting that based on Pamshat and the Mishnah, there are only two different opinions here. That Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva agree in general about what's called pre. They're arguing about din local and maser. And then there's the author of this brisa, who argues on what the pre of a tzlaf is. He says there are two parts of a tzlaf that are pre.
So, I mean, the real problem is with the Gemara later is if we read it according to your
Mishnah. Yes, yes. Right, but then, so what, unless the Gemara later would acknowledge you have to be makbid on Tamaris as well, which is strange because they just said Slav Shalala, Zorek, in other words, it sounded like the only two things which you had a Hava meaning for were the Avionis and the Kafrisin, and you do have to throw away the Avionis, but the Kafrisin you can eat. It sounds like, and the Tamaris and the Olin, of course you can eat. It's not, I know it's not explicit, but that's what it sounds like. Okay, so now let's continue. Shalom, are you there? Who's reading? I know, I've forgotten already. Okay, so then why not say that the Psak Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Why just tell us that in Chutz La'aretz, Yezorek es Avionos Ochas Kafrisin, so the Gemara says, okay, by formulating it this way, but being an allusion to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, so because the assumption is you know the Mishnah is in Maestros, so you're teaching us something important that called Mekel Baretz Halacha Gemosa B'Chutz La'aretz. Okay, we've seen this klal already. Aval, not in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Amarav would be teaching us. Okay, so then if that's the case, Vinema. So why not just say Alacha Kabi B'Chutz La'aretz? Why provide us with that view? So the answer is Iyamar Hachi. Okay, so there are a couple of problematic. There are three implications in the statement. The one that's most pertinent to our sugya is the Gemara is trying to conflate Orla and Maestros. Okay, the way Eyal you want to read it, right? We point out there's a problem with Tamaras, but the Gemara is trying to conflate the two. It certainly is. That's our internal problem. We've discussed this already. I don't have to beat that bush to death. Now, the other two issues, which are peripheral, but they're very important issues within. Azraim is number one. What does the Gemara imply about Trumas and Maestros? And we said this already. It implies that Maser Elon in Eretz Yisrael is only Drabanan against the Sheet of the Rambam. Now, some of you pointed out that in Tosfos Tosfos in whatchamacallit, in Kiddushin, I think, has a different girsay. They say that Maser Yerek Vitzlaf. Even the Rambam, by the way, is more than Maser Yerek's the Rabbanan. The girsay of Tosfos is Maser Yerek and Slaf is only the Rabbanan. And if you look in the Kisveyad here, I only sent it to those who asked, but if someone asked me to send out the whole class, I'll send the spreadsheet to everybody so you can see it. I've done like the first 3.5 plots, so it'll cover us for a while. There are other nuschos. I don't remember if they say that Maser Yerek is the Rabbanan or Maser Tzlaf is the Rabbanan. Now, as I said before, it's still problematic for the Rambam because Tzlaf, even if the Gemara said Maser Yerek the Rabbanan, the bottom line is Tzlaf is Nilan. And why does the Rambam say that the Maser there is only the Rabbanan? Unless he says Tzlaf is also unusual, Chaim.
Well, I mean, wouldn't Yerek include, wouldn't that be inclusive of Ilan, of an Ilan as well?
No. When we say Maser Yerek is Rabbanan, it means Dafki Yerek. There are areas in Halacha where we distinguish between Ilanos and Yerek. Not only, number one, in Maestros, again, it may all be the Rabbanan. With respect to Maestros, we say that the Shas HaMaiser is, you know, what makes it this year's versus last year is different. By Ilan, we normally go Basar Chanata, the blossoming. By Yerek, we go Basar Likita normally. But one area where the distinction is the Raisa, it's not between all Ilanos, but it's most Ilanos versus most Yerekos, is Lagabe Peah. There, it's based upon a different standard. I have to see if I can figure out where else you might have a Yerek. I mean, I guess the Lagabe Orlan effect, Yerek is the difference between Yerek and Ilan. Right, that's a derisive distinction between them. So anyway, so whatever you're going to do with the Shita Saramam, I'm not sure we're going to go any further. You should be aware it's a very important machlokas, and this Gemara is mashma, not like the Ramam. The third problematic...
How can you tell that they think it's the
Ramam? What?
How can you get from the word of the Sukkah
that
they think it's the
Ramam? Maser Ilan de Be'aretz de Rabbanon? Hani Mili, I would have thought the only time you would go like the Mekim Chutz La'aretz is Gabe Maser Ilan de Be'aretz Gufam de Rabbanon.
Unless you just say that to Allah.
No, the Gemara never rejects that. Aval gabe orla de be'eretz midaraisa ema b'chutz la'aretz nami nigzer so kamash malon. Okay. The second problematic implication here is what is the status of Arlon chutz la'aretz? According to this, in chutz la'aretz. It sounds like it's the Rabbanan. Listen to the following. It says that you would have thought that that by something which is midoraisa and Eretz Yisrael, midrabbanan would go there in Chutz La'aretz. Kamash Milan would not go there. I know, and it doesn't challenge it. Please.
Try something. It might be there's something in between. It doesn't have to be.
Nigzor. It's strange. Now, you may. Rashi already has a comment here, which says, Orla b'chutz la'aretz, he writes, what? Mi divrei sofrim hi. Why does Rashi say that? Is that that is in connection with this. What's that? Oh, I understand, but the mashmos of this Gemara is that Orla b'chutz la'aretz is mi divrei sofrim. What does Rashi mean by divrei sofrim? He means the Rabbanan. You all know the category of the Rambam, divrei sofrim, or you all should know the category. The Rambam has this idea, Divrei Sofrim is sometimes Torah Shebal Peh Doraisa, just not you know, the non-Misinai variety and the non-Mesor variety, but the developmental variety. Okay, if it's learned from the Midos Shaton Adreshes Behen, the Rambam says that Kiddushei Kesef is the Midivrei Sofrim, that you still get Skila for adultery over that, it's just that it's Midivrei Sofrim. Of course, Rambam sometimes means Midivrei Sofrim in Strabanan, which is why he did that so we could write a lot of Torah figuring out which way he held. But Rashi Divrei Sofrim here means the Rabbanan. Rashi, by the way, can almost not envision the cat. How do I know that Rashi could not envision this in-between category? Because Rashi, the sheet of the Rambam on Kiddushei Kesef being Divrei Sofrim is a sheet that Rashi quotes him as Rabbeim and he goes berserk over it. He just thinks it's absolutely wrong. He asks all these questions and he seems to be unable to wrap his mind around the possibility that Kiddushei Kesef should be, that there's an in-between category between the Reis and the Rabbanan. It's called Divrei Sofrim. That's Rashi in Ksubas Daf Gimel Aleph and maybe elsewhere. Yeah.
When we were discussing Orla, we were saying that it might be a sort of separate Doraita in which we learn which Halacha
you still would not call it. Again, I could explain if the Gemara didn't say it this way. I would have said it differently. I would have just said the following. I would have thought you only make by ma'aser, which is legami the rabbanon chutz laretz, but by orla, you would be machmir, since there is halacha moshe ma'aser and chutz laretz. And even though sveika is mutar, and that's why I'd be make, I thought you shouldn't be make in this type of a case. I would have said something like that. The Gemara's form, I can explain the how. I can explain well why you might have been more machmir on the orla than the ma'aser and chutz laretz. It's easy to explain. I can give other reasons too, that orla is aser bahana. Right, master's only, you know, asr, you know, tevel's only asr b'achila. I mean, I could have given you all sorts of explanations, just the Gemara doesn't say it that way. Now, is there a sheet that Arlan Chutz Laretz is only drabbanon? The answer is yes. There's a machlokes in Kiddushin on the sugya there at the end of the first parak. When we say that the Mishnah in, what does the Mishnah say the din of Arla is in Chutz Laretz? Halacha. There's a machlokes in the Gemara Kiddushin whether halacha means halacha l'moshim yisina, in which case it's del raisa, or if it's hilchos medina, which is some kind of a minhag. You know, there was one, they say one, two of the Amorim, each one used to feed each other, the other one, his Orla. Okay, in Chutz Laretz, in Babel. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says, I would have thought. Yes. That's how makel they were, how mazalza they were in it. That suggests that even, you know, each one knew it was Vadai Orla, they would feed it to the other one, making it sound like it's really just Hilchos Medina. And Hilchos Medina is limited to a case of where you mamish see. In other words, you read the Rambam, for example. This may not be. The Tzushtel may not stand, but according to the Rambam, you have to see it being plucked from the tree. And that's the simple statement the Gemara is about to say. Right? The question is, what does that mean exactly? So, you know, those Amorim took it sort of an extreme where each one knew that it was Orla. Yeah? Tzushtel? Correspondence.
Okay.
From the German Zustellen, to make stand literally, right? It means A lines up with B, C lines up with D. A Zustell is when you try to connect two different issues. I'm sorry, you know, I just had a conversation with someone this morning. He asked me if I know Yiddish, and I say not very much, but I know a little Yiddish, right? So this is base medrash Yiddish, that's correct. It's an important, it doesn't have a good English, you know, where it captures something that it's hard, it's not a parallel, it's a correspondence of views. Okay, which if you just say that expression is also doesn't misleading. It's a correspondent of views within two disputes. That's the best way of putting it. Tushtel captures that very nicely in one word. Within two disputes, two seemingly unrelated disputes that where each sheet actually corresponds to the other. That when you talk about making a tushtel, you take two machlokas and you line them up generally. Okay. Okay. No, sorry about that. I mean, technically, I don't know if it's tushtel. I don't think we use the term when it comes to one sheet and one area and one sheet and another area putting it together. It could be, but I think usually we use it when you have a machlokas here and a machlokas there, and we sort of put the two together. Okay. So well, that leaves us, in summary for today, is that there are three areas in halacha in which to discuss the question of what if something is pre. The area of bracha, the area of Olah, the area of Meisers. There are two Tanaitic sources to deal with here. The anonymous Brisa that divides the byproducts of a tzlaf into two categories, Olin and Tmaros versus Avionos and Kafrisin for bracha purposes. We have a machlokes in the Mishnah and Meisers that says whether or not you separate Meisers only on the Avionos or even on the Tmaros and the Kafrisin. And we had two ways of explaining the Nekudas HaMachlokes. Either it's a machlokes over what's called pre, or it's a machlokes over what you separate Meisers from, only the pre, or even from things that are not called pre if they're eaten. And then we had the Memra of Rav, who said that in Chutz Laretz you throw away the Avionis, but you can eat the Kafrisin, suggesting that Kafrisin went now the status of Pri. And the Gemara has now attempted to put them together, and they have linked Rav's position to that of Rabbi Akiva. And we suggested that, at least conceptually, depending on which formulation you take of the Machlokas, really it could have been that Rabbi Eliezer would have agreed with Rav as well, if the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, is limited to Maseros. Although the Gemara clearly is going to try to expand Rabbi Eliezer's point to understand that it would apply to Arla as well, not only to Maseros. And the other issue is, again, to be aware of that we discussed, is the five shitos in what things are chayiv in Atar and Trumas and Maseros, and as well as the question of what is the status of Arlan Chutz Laretz, Halachna Moshe Misinai, or Hilchos Medina. And our Gemara seems to take a position that, at least it sounds like it's Hilchos Medina, and it seems to take a position like most Rishonim that only Dagan Tir Shvi Yitzar are chayiv in Trumas and Maseros.